Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Malachi, the last prophet. In this section, we'll be looking at Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 to 16, to have and to hold. Malachi's message is answering the question, in what way have you loved us? The Lord calls his people to look back to the past and remember what he's done for you. You've been chosen, preserved, and used. The Lord calls his people to look up in the present and repent in your worship, in your leadership. Repentance is needed in another area of sin, a disregard for God's standard for marriage. In our text for this session, Malachi uses the word treacherously 5 times in verses 10 to 11 and 14 to 16. The men were forming marriages with pagan women, and they were divorcing Jewish wives to marry the foreign women. Notice the 3 parts of God's call to repentance in our text, Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. First, it is a call to unity, verses 10 through 12. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. And Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. God's call to repentance began with a reminder of their unity as his people. They had one God as their creator and father. Their covenant relationship with him further bound them to him and to one another. Holy institution, which he loves. God's word has not changed. God's people have changed. God's people are spiritually reborn and united in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling within. And here's the issue. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And the multitudes gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. God's people were treating marriage as simply some physical agreements, when it is a spiritual, physical union of God's own creation. by marrying someone outside the community of believers, God's people break faith with him and with one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, very clear. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Believers marrying unbelievers corrupts the faith. The unbeliever always pulls the believer away from the faith because different spirits are at work. Second, it is a call to sincerity. Verse 13, down to verse 15. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But he did not make them one, or should I say, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. The men who married foreign women were told God would no longer be pleased with their offerings. What was their response? They covered the altar of the Lord with tears and asked, for what reason? They had dealt treacherously with their spouses in selfishness, presenting offerings that can never serve as a substitute for obeying commands. Tears cried in anguish cannot take away the place of honoring the vows of marriage. And then third, it is a call to faithfulness. Verse 16, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. I don't know your story, but I do know that every person has the view that his or her divorce is justified. For those of you who have been divorced, this lesson is not intended to judge you. The Holy Spirit is judge alone. My task as preacher or teacher is to teach you God's viewpoint on the affairs of man, his commands. In God's sight, marriage is a covenant relationship. The promises or vows that are made are binding and must be taken seriously. Verse 14 again. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. The Lord is witness of the marriage union. The covenant of marriage is with God as well as between husband and wife. Look at verse 15. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Notice the spouse is companion or partner. This is the only time in the Bible marriage partners are described as partners. For what purpose? He seeks godly offspring. Here is the reason for a marriage of believers only. The same Spirit leading both parents. This passage has the strongest statement of divorce. He, speaking of God, hates divorce. While God's grace of forgiveness covers sin, in the Lord's sight, every divorce represents some form of failure, a breaking of the covenant. Divorce covers one's garment with violence. The custom of a man publicly covering a woman with his garment was a symbol of choosing her to be his wife. So divorce brings violence to the sacred covering. It is violent emotionally, socially, spiritually, sometimes physically. God hates divorce because he loves his people. And then fourth, it's a call to diligence. Verses 15 and 16 again. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. Through Malachi, God admonished his people to prevent these sins of mixed marriage and broken marriages when he said in verse 15, take heed to your spirit. And then again in verse 16, take heed to your spirit. God only repeats himself for importance. Divorce is more than a social problem. It is spiritual. You think about that, and you have a great day.